The London Bridge Sports Medicine Podcast.
Medical news, health, fitness
with Dr. AJ Seth.
Hi there. Welcome to LBSM's Extraordinary Patient Stories. Our amazing patients have shared their journeys with us through injury and illness so we can learn and live better. Hiya, Dr. Seth here. So today we're going to be talking to Connor. Now, Connor is a semi-pro footballer who came to the clinic with a groin issue. And we ended up organising the relevant scans, and he actually needed an injection, which really helped his groin pain. And then we put him on the correct rehab programme, and he showed a really good response. I wanted to bring him onto the show, really, to highlight difficulties that a semi-pro, amateur, or even a recreational athlete has. You might find you are one of these people who enjoy exercising to a very high level. You play a sport to a very high level competitively, either as a semi-professional or an amateur level, or you're just a real enthusiast. And it's difficult. There's certain challenges that you will face that can make training and staying injury-free very difficult. The first of those is balancing life and sport. So often, the type of patient I see who are semi-pro, for example, like Connor, is working multiple jobs. So he's not just a footballer. He's also in the construction industry. So he's having to tie down life as a footballer as well as working at the same time, and a full-time job at that. And that is for financial reasons. If a footballing career was to take off and he'd be promoted and so on and so forth, then that's a different story. But actually, for the vast majority of semi-pro athletes, that's not the case. And actually, you're holding down multiple jobs. So balancing time and balancing life can be very difficult, particularly when you're trying to fit in training around that. I guess the second challenge is the awareness and education around health monitoring and accessing medical help. So some clubs, running clubs, football clubs, may have access to a physio, for example, or a soft tissue therapist. But actually, how much detail evaluation are you getting from the people who are working at these clubs, and how much support are you getting from that point of view? And it doesn't just mean getting support around an injury you've got and assessment of an injury. It's more to do with the health monitoring, how you're adapting your training, but probably most importantly, the recovery. What are you doing to help recover? Is the number of sessions you're doing appropriate for the training outcomes? Another huge challenge is money, right? So sport is expensive in the vast majority of times. And actually, trying to get the right equipment, the right shoes, the right golf clubs, the right, sporting accessories that will help you train well and become injury free is difficult as well. So money always plays a big factor. So we talked to Connor about all these things and, what life is like as a semi-pro athlete, what his challenges were and why ultimately that led to injury. And I guess the key learning points are, he comes across as saying he wished he had a better understanding of his body. So understanding when your body is telling you, actually my training is not quite right, or I'm pushing myself through a bit too much here. And complementing your exercise and your sport with the correct strength and conditioning program. So there is definitely not a one-size-fits-all rehabilitation and strength program for everyone and for any sport. We're all different shapes and sizes. We all have different sporting requirements. So doing the same routine for a semi-pro or a recreational rugby player as opposed to a golfer would be completely silly. So just making sure you're having the correct strength and conditioning program that allows you to train to do your sport is key. And also, I think the very pertinent one in a lockdown period is avoiding boom and bust, right? So when we have the opportunity to train or to practice, or you've got more time of work to go for more rides or more runs, making sure you don't go for it to a point where you are booming. and then going into a bust cycle, i.e., you know, your body feels the strain, can't handle it, and then things start to fall apart. So, yeah, I mean, listen to Connor, try and get an idea of what his issues were and see how they can apply to you, just so you make sure you're training as optimally as possible, but also listening to your body and understanding what your body is trying to tell you from an injury point of view. Hope you enjoy listening. So, Connor, how are you? Thanks for joining us on Extraordinary Patient Stories. Just for the listeners' point of view, Connor came to me with some hip and groin pain a few months ago, and I think he's got a very interesting story in terms of how that pain developed. He's a footballer. So what I'll do is, Connor, I'll get you just to talk a little bit about yourself, your football background, and set the scene a little bit from a football point of view, if you don't mind.
So I play for Cray Valley, which is in the Isthmian South East League. It's part-time, so I juggle that up with working. And, it's just part-time, twice a week. You have two games a week and two training sessions.
And you're playing professionally? Are you playing for fun?
You get paid for it, but it's still part-time. So it's not a professional basis, but semi-pro, as they used to call it, as such.
And what do you do outside of the football?
I'm a bricklayer by trade, so do that Monday to Friday, and then train in a week.
You obviously came to see me towards the end of last year, and you were having some pain in the hip and groin area. Describe how that started and what happened to lead to that.
Yeah, at the start, it was more like an ache in the groin. I just thought it was tight hip flexors, tight groin, just tight in and around the area because I'm not the most mobile anyway. Then I went to my physio at the club and she was just trying to loosen it off, just trying to get through it. And then a few weeks down the line, it stopped me from training. And then it started aching and getting a little bit worse. And then the pain sort of moved to like my pelvis as such. And I just thought, oh, my hips are getting tight. I thought it was leading into other areas. Then I thought it was a hernia. So then I went to a doctor. I said, nope, there's no hernia. Then I got referred to like a senior physio. And she had a feel. Everything was like leading towards a hernia. And then everyone kept prodding around, nothing. So in the end, I got sent for a scan. And it not much really come back from the scan. It said there was a bit of inflammation. You've seen the scan yourself. So there was a bit of inflammation in the groin, bit of tendinopathy or whatever it was. And it just seemed to just go on forever. In the end, it just crippling me. Couldn't move towards the end. But it was just that we had a good cup run that I just kept on playing games. I just wasn't training during them. So I think I had about 12, 13 games, but there was no training in between, it was just nothing. I was literally just playing them games and just going to work. Struggling to work sometimes.
So there was a lot of football matches, and that's when after we restarted, wasn't it? After lockdown, I think it was the end of the back end of August, beginning of September, the matches restarted, didn't we? And then, so it was a full on schedule, and you obviously started having this groin pain. You got referred to one of my colleagues, Alison Bora, part of the physio team. And you're right. You had the MRI scan. What would your normal training week look like? So, obviously, lockdown has disrupted everything. But from a training point of view, what would you do on and off the pitch?
So, on a normal week, it would be train Tuesday, Thursday, play Saturday. Depending if you have two games a week, then it'll be you'll play on the Tuesday, train on the Thursday, play on the Saturday.
Yeah.
So depending on how many games you have in a week, depends on training, etc.
Okay, and is that training mainly pitch based or mainly sort of strength based?
It's all pitch based. You don't really get the strength side at part time. There's no time for that, like professional environment.
Yeah.
Whereas you have to do that on the side, and I didn't.
Okay, so that's not incorporated into your training week.
And is that because of lack of equipment or lack of expertise or lack of what? Why do you think that is?
In non-league football, you'll get 90 minutes of a training session. So you'll get two 90-minute training sessions and a 90-minute game. It's not a lot of hours in the week. So trying to cram all that into the week, there's just no time for like the strength and conditioning side.
Yeah.
It's just literally training all about the game and all people's jobs on the line, really.
Yeah.
Because there's full-time managers that rely on this man.
And we'll touch on this point later because I think this is obviously one of the reflections we've had. But do you feel that there is enough education on strength and conditioning at that sort of level, or is it down to the player in whatever sport you do to go and get that elsewhere?
I think it's definitely down to the player. I think you're not you know a hell of a lot about it, or you know someone that does know a lot about it. There's loads of people out there that are willing to help you. But whether or not you actually go and follow it up is a different story. It's not down to the managers or it's not down to the coaches and that. At this level, you choose to play at this level.
Yeah.
So it's also down to you to look after yourself.
That's true. So there is an element of sort of self-responsibility out there. But, all in your earlier years, was this an issue? Did you even think about strength and conditioning because you were playing the matches, your body could tolerate it? Did you have any problems before this groin issue started?
From like 16 to 22, basically, I was full-time football anyway. So that was part of life and that was a way of life. Mm-hmm. But then once you come out of the system and then start going down the leagues and that, it gets less and less, and then you start working, and then part of you is like, can you be bothered? Or do I need to actually do that? And you think you can get away with it. I was certainly, I found that out a lot, and I really struggled this year.
You've got family life going on, you've got a full-time job, it's not easy. I mean, the last thing you want to be doing after a hard day's work is heading down to the gym or doing some weights, you know? So it's really understandable why you might fall into that pattern of match play, normal life, and then that's it.
But what did do us, Doc, is the obviously the lockdown didn't help.
Yeah.
So you have quite a bit of time off, I think, the first time.
Yeah.
And then you just didn't do nothing. I don't think anyone done it. And then everyone was sort of like running long distance, and that probably didn't help.
Yeah.
And then you're coming back to football, which was on Astro, plastic, whatever.
Yeah.
And that don't help, I don't think, a lot of players. There's not much give.
There isn't. And when we were discussing your issues, we were saying, you know, there was back-to-back matches week after week on Astro, like you said, after a period of playing no football. So what we call the load that you experience in those months just completely set the groin off. All right, so let's just carry on the story, because you got your MRI done, and so I had a look at the MRI, and what it did show was some irritation around the pubic bones right at the front, and it was angry, wasn't it? It looked angry on the MRI, and when I assessed you, it was really angry in terms of just any sort of pelvic movement would really get it flared. And we tried the physio, and we made a bit of progress. You were feeling getting a bit stronger doing the rehabilitation type exercises, but then we had to bite the bullet and we went for the injection. Do you mind just telling us about the experiences you had with the injection?
Well, you gave me the course of tablets, didn't you, before to try and settle it down, the naproxen.
Yeah,
that settled it down a fair bit, to be fair. Yeah. But there were still some movements that would just set it off, and I just really couldn't do it. And so then I see you after Christmas, didn't I? And you just said, let's just go straight for the injection. You said, obviously, there's some risks to it. But other than that, it's been the best thing for me.
So just for the listeners, the injection was what we call a pubic symphysis injection. So we were going into the pubic bone at the front of the hip. And there are, as Connor says, there are obviously risks and benefits associated with that. And we discussed in some detail, didn't we, about, you know, what are we trying to achieve by doing the injection? But after the injection, I think you had quite a good response, didn't you? You felt a bit better.
Yeah, I think after about 3 days, I felt better. I think gradually, I think like 2 to 3 weeks, it was like perfect. But after 2 to 3 days, you felt something like the pressure just went. And like you start doing the movements a little bit easier. There's less pain, and then it just done its work. It was unbelievable, really.
And that's obviously a great outcome. And did you feel that helped you facilitate in your rehab after the injection? So were you able to continue with the rehabilitation of your hip and groin much better after that?
I could do all the movements the physio wanted me to do in the end.
Yeah,
because a lot of the time she was like, oh, can you do this? And I'm like, no, can you do this? Can you? No. So in the end, I was only doing like basic core exercises, which it's just not going to do much. It'll be all right walking day to day, but it wasn't going to deal with the load I was about to put on my body.
Yeah.
So once obviously the injection done that, I can do all the exercises she wants me to actually do.
Brilliant. Okay. So I guess, you know, we've reached the end of your sort of hip and groin journey, and hopefully when normal life resumes, the matches won't be as intense. We can space them out a bit. You're much more mindful of your game schedule and your training. I just want to hear some reflections on you, what you're going to change and what sort of top tips you'd get for other footballers or semi-pro athletes in the same position as you were.
Yeah, the only tips I could really give is look after yourself a bit better. Do the strength work. If you feel any niggles and that, go and see someone and actually get looked at. Don't just think, oh yeah, just get through it. Because that was my attitude, just, oh, I'll be all right. And in the end, you're just playing games and you're no good to nobody in the end of it. Yeah, that's it, really.
And do you have a preventative mindset now? Like, are you looking to, you know, keep on top of your strength program so you don't become injured in the future?
Yeah, that's it. That's the main one for me. It's just keeping on top of things, making sure that my body feels right, making sure I've actually done the strength work in order to put my body under that stress, because you do take it for granted, especially when you're working full time.
Yeah. What about softer things that would help, like things like diet and sleep? How have you changed your sort of lifestyle to accommodate those sorts of things? Or have you been quite good at that stuff anyway?
No, I've been pretty terrible. I'm not going to lie. I'm not the greatest at diets as such. Hmm. You sort of just rely on the athlete side of you to come out and you'll get fit that way. But if you was giving advice to someone else, you'd definitely say, eat the right things. If you can get 8 hours, keep do that. But sometimes life just don't allow you to.
Yeah.
And especially in the scenario we're in. I know we're coming out of it a little bit now, but it's a little bit needs must at the moment.
Yeah, it's definitely a tough time. And I think, you know, the points you're mentioning earlier about having some, I mean, obviously you've got a couple of streams of income. But some people who might be quite reliant on their job have that pressure. So it's almost even more important for them to look after their body, look after their health. The final question for me, Connor, is just, I mean, how rugged is that world of semi-pro sports, being a semi-pro athlete? I mean, how tough is it? How rugged? Can you give us, our listeners, some who, you know, maybe just recreational exercises, but how give an insight into that sort of world and how tough it can be, how challenging it can be.
Yeah, it's very cutthroat. There's not really any stability. There's no loyalty as such, definitely in the lower leagues. There's a conveyor belt of players that just come and go. Budgets go up and down, like chairman come and go. Everything's on the go. And it's literally just about the here and now. There's no plans for the future. There's no 2 or 3 year contracts. Some players that aren't even on contract. So I'm not on contract. So you never know where you're going to be from A to B. And managers as such are not really fussed about your load or thing. They're just paying you to do a job at the end of the day. So they're not worried too much about what your load is as such.
Yeah. And that's interesting because some people, most people, are exposed to the upper echelons of football, where they see what's happening in the Premier League, see what's happening in the Championship League, and they feel that is a representation of football throughout the leagues and non-league football as well. Mm. And it's just giving people a realization that actually it is a gritty world. It is tough out there. But I think the point I wanted to get across to the listeners was, it's at the end of the day, the responsibility sits with you to take ownership of your body and of your health as best as you can. And sometimes it might be the simple things like just doing some exercise and some rehab and doing some strength work that can keep you playing for longer.
Yeah, it's definitely, it's all about you at the end of the day. It's what your choice is. If you want to be the best you can possibly be, you've got to do all these things. Especially if you're like a young player, say if you're 16, 17, 18 and want to go full time, then these are the things you have to do because there's already people doing it. So it's all about the choices you make. If you could put aside the half hour in a day, it's not hard, but if you can actually do it and see it in your day, you'll reap the rewards 100%.
Connor, thank you so much. I think that's been really insightful. There's loads of good points to pick out there. And obviously, I'm sure you do really well with your groin issue. And Connor actually came for a bit of a shoulder niggle, but that's being managed well as well. So, Connor, thank you so much for your time. Really, really appreciate it. And I'm
cheers,
sure.
Cheers, Doc.
Actually, take care.
No, thank you very much. Cheers, Doc.
Thank you for listening to LBSM's Extraordinary Patient Stories. We really hope you enjoyed listening. If any of the topics discussed are relevant to you or you want to find out more, please get in touch by phone, email, social media, or visit our website. Thanks again and see you soon.